I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. The time is 3:32 p.m. Committee members present, Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Stoltz, Senator Stedman, Senator Coghill, and myself, Senator Giesel. I believe Senator Machicki and possibly Senator Walikowski will be joining us later. Ann is our recording secretary today. Thanks, Ann. Jessica's taking care of audio, and we will be taking public testimony, so she'll be busy. And Ike is staff to this committee. Today we're taking up, again, Senate Bill 32. So this is the second hearing on this bill. First one was on February 13th. Welcome, Senator Machicki. We left public testimony open when we heard it on February 13th, and so we're going to hear from others who wish to testify today. I need to leave a squidge early, and so Senator Costello will take the gavel if the committee is still in session at about 4:15. It is my intent to move the bill today, so that's what we're aiming for. I understand we have a proposed committee substitute. So, Senator Costello, I believe you have a motion.
Madam Chair, I move work order number 29-GS1022/whiskey before the committee as the working draft.
All right. I'll object for purposes of discussion. The committee will hear from the department about the proposed changes and an explanation. I'll welcome Mr. Chris Mache, the director of the Forestry Division. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, committee. My name is Chris Mache, director of the Division of Forestry and state forester. At our last hearing, the question came forward about change that's proposed in the CS that's before you. I'd like to point you to specifically line 6 of the bill, and you'll see that under that section 1, subsection C, the proposed CS would drop the language at the very end of the sentence in that section, and the wording that is being dropped is consistent with the best interests of the state. At our last meeting, you had asked us about the intent of that language and whether that meant a best interest finding or if it was simply a lowercase best interest. And I did consult with the Division of Law. Tom Lenhart is here today in case there are additional questions from the committee, so he's available to answer questions if so needed. But I'll take a shot at explaining it to you first, and we'll see where we need to go. So Tom took a look at this and consulted some attorneys in law, and then we also talked to the governor's ledge director about this proposed change. And we all concurred that the issue you had brought up about possible confusion between the lowercase best interest, in which that sentence was, versus a finding, a best interest finding, it would be appropriate to make this change.
Wait, excuse me, just one second, Mr. Mache. I want to welcome Senator Walikowski to the committee room. Thank you. Go ahead.
And then if I could, I'll go on to line 9, which was the other place the term best interest appears. And this is because the sections we are proposing to delete, those three subsections, that's where this wording that requires a finding of best interest is located. So we simply move that statement forward in this section to ensure that a finding would be required for a timber sale that was under this authority. So that does continue the intent of having a best interest finding. And the proposed change just clarifies that there is not a best interest finding needed for the commissioner to decide which is the appropriate way to sell timber. And I'll answer questions if you have any.
Very good. And committee members do have a copy of the legal memo that articulates these changes.
I might add one additional thing, if
yes.
I may. We did want to assure one of the key things was that none of the public process is changed with this proposed CS. A finding is still required, and in that memo it lists in the last couple paragraphs the actual process that we use to sell timber. And so this in no way affects our current public process.
Very good. So, committee members, questions for Mr. Mache or Mr. Lenhart, who's also here and could speak to the legal memo? Any questions? Okay, seeing none. In that case, I'll remove my objection. Is there any other objection to the work order being adopted? If not, this new work draft then is the working document. It's version W, whiskey. So, committee members, proceeding then with the bill, any questions about the bill? We did hear it last session, on February 13th.
I'm ready to move the bill.
Ready to move it. No other questions? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Did you have a question, Senator Sultan?
Yes, Madam Chair.
I saw your name, or your hand.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Since our last meeting on the 13th, I've had occasion to talk to the borough mayor and the borough manager, and they have indicated they've been offering timber sales, and there's not a lot of responsiveness, and definitely a glut in the Matt Valley market. And there was some concern expressed that is the state going to come in and offer other sales and further restrict their economic opportunities that they've been proceeding on, and that's representing the area within the Matsu Borough. Part of it's my district, part of its adjoining areas. And I also had the continuing concern there. The Alaska Outdoor Council has had concerns with past timber iterations, and this is certainly not the Forest Act and the breadth of that legislation, but there has been a historical problem and a lack of the Division of Forestry, which was acknowledged in the last meeting, to interact and meet with the Outdoor Council and other that's an umbrella group for a lot of other users. And it's been a historical problem with the department and then the division not interacting, you know, despite a lot of pleas to do so. So I have, just not having had those addressed, I actually did have a very short exchange, Madam Chair, with Mr. Mace at a social event. He said he had talked to our borough mayor and was going to follow up. I'd like a little discussion on the record about the Matsu Borough issues on this legislation. And the other users within that region. There may not be objection, but Madam Chair, I just want to make sure there's been the outreach that's really been avoided in the past, but there's no other way I can put it.
Through the Chair, Senator Stoltz. Yes, I have shared an email with both Mayor DeVilbiss and then just more recently today after our discussion, as you referred to, with the borough manager, Mr. Moosey. And I have heard back from the mayor that he will inform the assembly there of this proposed legislation. I have not had any further discussion with Mr. Moosey at this point, but I expect to hear back from him also on this subject. As far as the question about potentially glutting the timber market, we don't intend to use this authority in the Mat Valley unless there is a need. Our preferred method of selling timber will still be through our competitive auctions, our 120 authority. We just did offer an auction in the Matsu Valley this fall. There were 4 timber sales available. There were no bidders at that timber sale, so that, as you infer, might mean that they're all essentially satiated. They have enough timber currently in purchased, so they did not bid on any of these sales. So we don't intend to offer other sales except under that 120 authority. As far as speaking with the Outdoor Council, we have not contacted them directly about this proposal, but I can certainly do that if that would be one of the constituents you would like us to speak with.
Very good.
Thank you.
Senator Sedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's a large state. There's a lot of differences in some of the forests. We don't have municipal forests down here, unfortunately. We're surrounded with a Tongass with a little bit of state and some native lands in our communities. I think the response that this region has had from the department has been very well received and appreciated in helping with the timber supply to keep our last surviving medium-sized sawmill running. And frankly, I think they need a little more help on their fiber supply, and we're doing what we can to see that the industry stays alive. And I like the verbiage change that was recommended, Madam Chairman. I think that's good. I think some of the public process in this industry has actually been detrimental and used, frankly, to shut the industry down versus get a fair and balanced multi-use forest moving. It seems like the pendulum has moved to one side extremely too far, to the point where there's objections to virtually every timber sale. And I have been in contact with the industry, and we'll be working with them over the interim coming to see what we can do to help the department facilitate access to the forest under, not only for timber but for recreation and other uses. So we have a different, we've had a different experience, and are not concerned about a glut of timber down here. but a starvation of fiber and losing the last remaining resemblance of a timber industry.
Very good. Thank you for your comments, Senator Stedman. Any other comments? Senator Relikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a letter from Young's Timber in our folder here, and maybe I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look at that or not, but could you address some of the concerns that have been raised? One of the issues is that this could potentially lead to cronyism. You're essentially allowing for non-bidding and favoritism. How do you combat that? I mean, how do you stop? How does this bill prevent that from happening?
Through the chair, Senator Relikowski, excuse me. Well, there's a number of safeguards built into this process. First was the one that I just mentioned, which is our preferred method of selling timber, and what we do in 90% of our timber sales is by competitive bid, the 120 authority, especially in the interior where there is competitive interest. And I think at the last hearing, I think it was in this hearing, I related situation in Tok where Young's Timber is located when Alaska Power and Telephone was interested in a large long-term sale to support the development of a utility that would use wood to be the primary fuel source to produce electricity. We started out with a 118 process in that particular instance. And after the preliminary BIF was put out on the street, we had commenters, including Young's Timber, that indicated we potentially had competitive interest. So at that point, we backed up and closed that preliminary best interest finding out with no action and started a 120 process with a new preliminary BIF that would basically offer that timber sale as a competitive sale so that both Young's Timber and AP&T could decide whether they wanted to compete for that wood. So I think by example, we certainly addressed the issue that you just referenced in that letter, that we do have the best interests of the state at heart, and there's specific things that we have to do in a best interest finding that address the question that you referred to. I'd also like you to refer you to the regulations that back up this particular statute. It's 11 AAC 71055. And if you look in that section, those are where the three items we are proposing to drop are further enumerated. But if you go down to subsection B and number one there, you'll see some additional things that we can consider. And we do this as part of our 123 sale authority, and it talks about financial backing and capability, experience in the proposed activity being undertaken, and being able to meet the bonding and insurance requirements of the timber sale if it is offered. So a part of that best interest finding process is our due diligence as an agency and as professionals to ensure that we are approaching this in a business-like manner.
Follow-up, Senator Relikowski.
One of the other issues they raise is, could you prevent an environmental group from coming in and agreeing to purchase some of the timber so that it wouldn't be developed?
Through the chair, Senator Relikowski. The way we would do a negotiated sale would be through an RFP process where we'd enumerate some of the objectives we're hoping to achieve by that process. It might be, course, creation of local jobs, what kind of high-value-added products are going to be manufactured. It's unlikely an environmental group would be able to respond positively to those criteria, so would not be chosen under the RFP part of the process to actually negotiate terms of the timber sale contract. But again, I want to go back and reiterate, the main area of the state that we use this authority in is only here in southern southeast. In fact, I don't think we have sold any other 118 sales outside of southern southeast or northern southeast. And again, for the simple reason that we have competitive interests, we don't have the round log export issue that this authority helps us address, which is keeping logs that are off state lands and manufacturing facilities in southeast as opposed to going out as a round log export log. So by default, 120 is going to be our preferred method of selling timber. Again, the commissioner can make that choice. That's one of the other changes, and that currently exists in statute. This proposed change just makes it clearer that he will make that selection of the best authority based on a best interest finding.
Very good. Further questions? Senator Stedman?
Just on Senator Bulikowski's concern, I think if that materialized, some of us in Southeast would want a special session to change the statutes.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
And up in my neck of the woods, it's probably the most competitive. There's manufacturing for house logs. There's manufacturing for wood pellets. There's chips for heating units like you have in Delta and Tok. Probably our biggest problem is access, and then once you do get access, poaching. I mean, their people are highly competitive for this wood for a lot of reasons, but the competition has also driven those who, once they find a road open, but it's kind of interesting to me in the boreal forest that it is really kind of a, in most foresters' view, a scrubby little forest. We probably have the largest sales in Alaska. I think we must trump most sales anywhere else around here. So, and yet the nicest forests are probably the Chugach and the Tongass. but we're selling it, and so it's highly competitive. So I would think that the competition up there would keep you on that track, be my guess.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Stedman.
Object to Senator Coghill rubbing salt in the wound.
Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate the follow-up from Mr. Mage to answer some questions and the continuing follow-up. And my concern is my overall concern is trying to support the Southeast economy. I felt it was necessary to ask those questions. It has come up as concerns within that region, and anything we can do to help salvage a once dominant economic engine for Southeast and some salvage of it. I'll do anything I can to help Southeast. My questions are really pointed at some local concerns, but I think are very easily addressed through inquiry. So if I seem combative, it was on frustration on past measures, and I think the responsiveness has improved quite a bit. And I only want to look through that windshield, not the rearview mirror, on this issue, Madam Chair. And I have a lot more concern about what the senator from Sitka says and a PhD in Hayward, Wisconsin.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. We do have some folks who wish to testify. If there's no other questions from committee members, and of course we'll come back to the committee in a couple minutes here. I see here the Tok LIO. Mr. Joe Young is on the line wishing to testify. Mr. Young, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome. If you would identify yourself for the record and include your affiliation, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, my name is Joe Young, and I'm the owner of Young's Timber Inc. in Tok, Alaska.
All right, please give us your testimony.
Okay. I'm against HB 87 SB 32 as it is now written, especially Section 3, HB 87 SB 32, that states AS 380511C is repealed, or otherwise known as the Snobble Law. The intent of 11C statute was to help Alaskans with high levels of unemployment, underutilized manufacturing capacity, and either underutilized allowable cut, damaged trees — Tok has thousands of acres of fire-killed and wind-blown trees — or land being converted to non-forest use for long-term negotiated timber sales. HB 87, SB 32 needs to be killed or at least delayed until public hearings and explanations of the sectional analysis is held in Tok and other rural areas, so HB 87 SB 32 can be rewritten to reflect our concerns. In the Tok area, we have four different operators that have 10 timber sales executed under AS 380511-8C. The effect of these 118C timber sales in Tok has spurred investment of over $3 million by the private sector, and the state has invested over $4 million for wood fiber heating systems to reduce the cost of energy in the Tok area. Young's Timber alone has invested $1 million, and Young's Timber has now invested another $4 million in 2015 for value-added equipment because of the 118C timber sales that it was able to acquire. the 118C timber sales in rural areas where the Division of Forestry has cut forest resource staffs can be administered with smaller staffs. 118C can be used to economically reduce hazardous fuels in rural communities feeding the energy heating systems. The advantage that we have in rural Alaska is 118C to spur timber industry development, help reduce energy costs, and create new jobs. My other concern is Section 5, that this act takes effect immediately. What is the rush? Is there something going on? It sure kind of looks suspicious. I've been in the timber business for 22 years, and I just can't get an understanding why you need HB 87, SB 32 at this time in the rush to make it into law. Please think about rural Alaska, the investments that have been made, and the jobs that have been created before passing HB 87, SB 32, as it is now written to repeal AS 380511C. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Young. Questions for Mr. Young? All right, seeing none. There's another gentleman in Toke who has indicated he doesn't wish to testify, but Dave Stancliffe, I just want to double check with you. You don't want to testify, is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chairman.
All right, thank you very much. Let's see, the next person is in the Anchorage area. It's Aaron McLaren. Aaron, can you hear us?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very clear. Please give your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Alrighty, good day. I'm Erin McLaurin of Anchorage. I'm the executive director of the Working Forest Group and a Board of Forestry board member. I'm testifying in support of SB 32 that will enable the Commissioner of Natural Resources to better respond to the economic and geographic realities of the forest product industry. Who would have guessed that a primary demand for our state's timber would be for biomass energy purposes? SB 32 would allow DNR to offer negotiated timber sales for up to 25 years, which is crucial for medium to large biomass energy products to get off the ground. This bill would also give DNR the flexibility to determine which applicable sale method is in the best interest of our state for each timber sale, which is a win-win not only for the state of Alaska, but its fiber users. Again, I support SB 32, and I hope you take the necessary steps to move this bill forward. Thank you for your time and service to the state of Alaska.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. McLaren. Any questions for Ms. McLaren? All right, seeing none. That ends the people that have signed up. First, I also want to note that Representative Josephson has joined us, so welcome, sir. Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to testify on the bill? Is there anyone else online? There's no one else online. So I'll close public testimony. Any closing remarks, Mr. Mache?
Just for the record, Chris Mache, Director of the Division of Forestry. No, I don't think I have any specific closing remarks. I think we've covered the questions that you had, and hopefully you can pass this bill from committee. Thank you.
Excellent. Any questions before you leave the table? Any other questions for Mr. Mache? Senator Wielichowski.
Yeah, thank you. Just so I understand, you talked about an RFP, and that makes me feel a little bit better. Is there a requirement that there be an RFP for a manufacturer?
Through the chair, Senator Wielichowski. That's the language that's mirrored in 123. It's not actually in the 118 authority, but we use that same process where we can choose to do an RFP. We do not have to choose to do one, but it's a matter of practice that we do use an RFP to make an initial cut at who might be appropriate to negotiate with. It's part of that best interest finding process is really where we do the due diligence to ensure that, we're working with a real partner.
Yes, follow-up, Senator Wielichowski.
Yeah, and I guess that's my big concern. I mean, I see a lot of merit, and I think with a good commissioner, this is a great bill. I think it can encourage local jobs and local resource development. My big concern is just, and if you're saying there's an RFP, that makes me feel a lot better, but my big concern is, you got a commissioner and his uncle is a local manufacturer, and he gives him a sweetheart deal when maybe if you put it out to bid, you would have got a lot more money for it. And you're saying that's you'd have to put out an RFP in which anyone could respond, and then he'd have to, the commissioner would have to negotiate the best deal. Is that what you're telling us?
Through the chair, Senator Wolakowski, yes. Through that best interest finding process, the commissioner would most likely be the final signatory on that. I only have delegated authority for $50,000 or less for a timber sale of that nature. So for an example, the 123 sale we're currently working on up in Fairbanks is about a $400,000 value to it. So that will be signed by the commissioner. I think it's the integrity of the process, the best interest finding. It's in the light of day. The public comments on it. Other entities can comment on it. So I think the process is well designed to prevent the kind of concern that you're expressing from actually occurring.
Very good. Senator Stoltz, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we I don't want to compel a citizen to testify, but I worked with Mr. Stancliffe on the biomass project, and I guess I'd like to hear from him. He's been a leader in promoting that, not in just Tok, but other communities, whether or not he feels this will diminish or enhance the viability of those types of projects. I'd sure like to hear on that, if Mr. Stancliffe wants to.
Okay. Before we ask him if he's interested in speaking, any other questions for Mr. Mache? Senator Wolakowski.
Just as I'm comparing bills. So removing the section that it is required to be consistent with the best interest of the state in Section 1, are you saying that's sort of implied it has to be in the best interest of the state?
Through the chair to Senator Wolakowski. At our last hearing, there was a question specifically asked on lines 6 and 9. The question pertaining to line 6 was, would the lowercase best interest be confused with an actual finding that would be a best interest finding? And we concurred that, yes, that language was potentially confusing to especially the lay public, that a finding would be required for the commissioner to choose the right kind of sale authority to offer timber under. So that is the purpose of the CS, is to not have that confusion by dropping the reference there. And it's the generic best interest, like it's in my best interest to study well to get an A on a test. It's not the best interest finding required by law.
Very good. So I'm going to ask if Mr. Stancliffe is still on the line at the Tok LIO, and is certainly your choice, sir, whether you wish to make any comments, but it has been requested by Senator Stoltz. Are you there?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I am here, and thank you, Senator Stoltz. I spent a lot of time in this area and watching the development of our timber base in the Tanana Valley Forest come into action and create quite a vibrant economy here, everything from heating and powering our school to providing the type of resource that the smaller woodcutters use to the larger operations like Mr. Young. I have not had the time to go through the bill in an in-depth way to speak intelligently about all sections. I will do that, and I will be coming down to Juneau shortly here next week, and we'll be glad to meet with Senator Stoltz and give him a deeper assessment. I'd be happy to meet with any other members of the committee, including you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stancliffe.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions for Mr. Mache? All right. Hearing none. Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, I move CS for Senate Bill Number 32, Resources, Work Order 29-GS1022/Whiskey from committee with individual committee recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there objection? Seeing none. Senate Bill, the CS for Senate Bill 32, version W, will pass from this committee with individual recommendations. It goes next to the Finance Committee. So it is continuing through the process. This actually ends our agenda for today. So I'm going to adjourn the meeting now. We'll sign a transmittal document before everyone leaves, please. Let the record reflect that it is 4 p.m.